And we are live. First of all, welcome back to this episode of the Downtime Talks, and thank you for tuning in. On this show, I'm speaking to guests about the trending topic, the innovative ideas, and the new ways to eliminate downtime in construction. I'm your host. I'm Sean Brogaard, the CEO here at Track Unit, and it's my true pleasure on the show today to welcome Britton Langdon, who is the Chief Strategy Officer at Snaptrude. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Our two companies, or you in particular, and Track Unit have been in various interactions throughout your various jobs. But why don't you start by introducing yourself a little bit on your history and your career so far?
Sure, absolutely happy to. Britton Langdon, Chief Strategy Officer here today at Snaptrude. I've been here about 7-8 months, but before that, I had my own startup called M Suite, which was a BIM to prefabrication to field tracking software that allowed our customers around North America to track their design for manufacturing efforts as well as their prefabrication efforts and get them to the job site and installed as fast as possible. So I had that company for about 8 years and was very fortunate to have sold it to Stanley Black & Decker DeWalt, which is where I became introduced to Track Unit. And you know, while I was there, we were very focused on tool and asset tracking along with the BIM to fab to field workflows. So I was very excited about my relationship with Track Unit. And then as I moved over to Snaptrude, it's an architectural design software today. And we believe it to be sort of the design authoring future where it's cloud-based and collaborative and really bringing teams together from all over the world. So a lot of sort of parodies between these workflows and similarities, but obviously brand new for me going from MEP contractors in the trade contractor world to architectural design, which I'm loving because I get to see now two sides of the coin, so to speak.
Maybe just a few words on Snaptrude. How large are you guys? Is it a global effort?
Brand new startup in the United States and India. It was originally founded by Altaf Ganihar out of Bangalore, India. Moved he and his family to New York last year. We've raised $20 million in venture capital money in the last year and are really focused on probably the US and Europe today. Mm-hmm. But we do have customers all over the world.
Very good. I think that actually puts you nicely in the map, and I can only imagine that there is many ways that you guys are helping eliminate downtime today. But before we get into a couple of concrete ideas on how you guys are helping eliminate that, maybe for our less knowledgeable workers around the BIM modeling and the whole concept of model-based design, How can I best understand that, and where are we? I mean, BIM modeling has been around for, 15, 20 years? What's the latest state of the art of BIM modeling, and how does that integrate into model-based design?
Great question. So I think, you know, the promise of BIM was building information modeling, and the information, was probably the most powerful promise that's now been around for 20-plus years. And the reality is it hasn't been delivered upon. there's just not a lot of great use cases where the information that an architect designs into a model is effectively communicated and ultimately translated down even to the owner all the way down the life cycle of a project. So not even considering the silos that happen in the construction process when it's, you know, general contractors and trade contractors and engineers and architects, but you know, the whole promise of BIM was that all of us would keep contributing great data, like the type of chiller or the light fixture or whatever other piece of the building was being designed. And then the owner would ultimately get this model where they could manage their building from a facilities maintenance perspective and see that light bulb was installed on, you know, January 3rd of 2023, and it needs to be maintained every 6 months. So it sets a calendar event for, you know, June 3rd of 2023. That just never happened. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I could do an entire podcast with you, I think, on that alone. But the promise of BIM today is really building models where it's as close to what is built as possible so that, you know, as a trade contractor, I can rely upon my model and my field personnel can rely upon the model to accurately install what was designed. And that goes all the way down to prefabrication efforts and design for manufacturing or DFMA. And the tighter or the more accurate that model gets, the faster the prefabrication and installation process can get. But it takes investment. It takes time. It takes technology and resources to actually get a model to that state. And that's, I think, a big opportunity for all of us in the AEC space.
So if I connect back your legacy or where you're coming from the tool space, or even if I can ask you to reflect over the building models in the context of off-highway vehicles and the equipment that goes onto construction sites, what are some of the overlaps? What are the benefits of knowing what you have, how your equipment is being used, both from a rental and an OEM and a general contractor point of view, into the building models domain? What are some of the obvious synergies?
Yeah, I think utilization is probably the biggest one that I've heard about, you know, even back when I was at a contractor 10 years ago. Knowing what, especially the very expensive rented equipment like lifts and forklifts, et cetera, knowing that they're actually being utilized and not just sitting in the corner of a building and haven't moved for 3 days is critical. I mean, those things are very expensive on a rental basis, and making sure that there's not some other job site across town that I could be using this on and it's just sitting idle in this other job site. If I knew that utilization at that level would be incredible. But even down more granular to my previous life at DeWalt, understanding what tools are being used and when is often something that our customers ask us about, so that they know if they need to buy another drill or buy another grinder or whatever it is, they know they need to do that versus just buying in bulk every quarter or every 6 months or every year even. So being able to better understand where those things are in a model-based environment allows me to understand, you know, is that lift in the northwest corner of the building and how long has it been there versus, hey, it's on job site, you know, such and such, and that's about all we know.
Very good. Makes a lot of sense. So if you go back to SnapTrue and the idea of this startup, what are some of the big problems that you guys have set out to solve in new ways? And maybe connecting that to how you guys are planning on eliminating downtime.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Altaf was a mathematician and a researcher in India on a World UNESCO Heritage Site at Hampi. And they were doing research on how to take a very old building and turn it into a 3D model. And as he was doing that, they got the opportunity to work with a bunch of architects and contractors in the process and learned about the painful things that they have to do very manually in this case, Autodesk Revit, to build ultimately the model that they need. And he was asked to create a plugin in Revit and asked to create a plugin in SketchUp and over and over asked to create these Band-Aids. And he often says he was probably young enough and naive enough to think, well, there's got to be a better way. And as we all are at some point, and myself included, when we created M Suite, and he set out to create a new design authoring platform that didn't require all those Band-Aids and was built on the modern tech stack. So, you know, a lot of those were built as desktop architecture and, you know, didn't utilize the full power of a computer today, for example. So we built a cloud-based environment that could take advantage of the modern technology stacks that people use today, like powerful computers and powerful browsers and web GPUs and things like that. And then, you know, created a collaborative workspace where it's no longer a siloed file-based structure. It's now that you and I can jump in the same model at the same time and be looking at the real work, knowing that you don't have to wait on a published process or a sync process or wait on someone to share the right file or right version with you. That is a very, very powerful story going forward. Is it fully baked? No, not even close. I think we're still discovering what that collaborative world looks like. But I think from a downtime and waste perspective, there's a lot right there. But more specifically, we are on a very narrow focus right now. It's called Sketch to BIM. And essentially, it's conceptual design, early stage, you know, ideation of a new project by owners and architects to, okay, now let's put this thing out for bid, or let's go actually build this thing and taking it through schematic design. Right now, the software that play in that space require you to redraw. Once you've done all the work to come up with your beautiful conceptual design, once you get to Revit, which is the tool of choice for everybody in architecture, at least in the United States, once you get to Revit, you have to redraw all of that because there's not a clean interoperability between the sketch tools or the conceptual design tools today. So quite literally, downtime while they wait on a junior architect or another architect to redraw the entire model. And they're not paid for that. So that's time that they are completely sunk in a project. And so it's not even just the amount of time it takes to actually get it into the Revit model space. It's the fact that they could be utilizing that time in other ways. And that's one thing ours does. So our conceptual design is deeply integrated into Revit. And so whenever you're doing your concept design with us, you don't have to redo it again when it goes to Revit. It's a one-to-one conversion so that you can quickly move into that schematic design phase and actually start begin to building it soon thereafter instead of having to wait. And let's face it, none of this is a linear process. So all of the iterative design and you know, rethinking different aspects of a project, they have to take it back into the design model to do that. Or they just don't because it's so hard to do. They stay in Revit and they use Revit for that design process, which Revit wasn't designed to do. So no matter which way they look at it today, they're either doing more rework or they're using a tool that wasn't designed to do that. And obviously, since it's not designed to do that, it's slower, it's more wasteful, it's more difficult to use. So
just very fascinating that you guys are trying to address basically some of the interdependencies in real time using modern cloud techniques that we know from other collaboration tools and integrating it into the quote unquote old world without offending anyone. I think one can say that. In many ways, here at Track, we're trying to do the same thing. What are the things you can build on top of existing infrastructure and what are some of the problems you can solve in new ways once you have the data, once you have the infrastructure? What is your success so far? And what are the, we often hear that we have not enough investment going into our industry, that we are somewhat conservative, even though I see a lot of evidence, yourself included, that there is a lot of innovation going on. Yet there is far between where we see massive technology shifts in our industry compared to other industries. What are some of the limiting factors you think in the industry adopting new ways of working?
That's a big question. I think the big one right now, and you alluded to it a little bit, is that because there has been a decent amount of investment over the last few years, even since I started my company in 2015, there's been exponentially more investment than there was when we first started at MSuite. There's a lot of technology fatigue. You know, people don't want to hear about the next, you know, greatest thing since sliced bread because they've already tried six others that said the same thing. And it's becoming where there are so many niche technologies out there. We're the X for Y, right? We're the layout tool for residential builders, or we're the automated dimensioning tool for mechanical engineers. Very specific, very niche products where, you know, you're getting to a point where companies are actually hiring technologists or technology focused people, almost, IT people, but have been in the business, the construction business or architecture business. They were either architects or they were trade contractors or general contractors. And they understand the technology space that's around us right now. And they're being hired to come in and do audits of their own organization as to what technologies did we buy and what are we actually using and how are we using it? And, you know, are we using six different products for the same thing? Mm-hmm. So I think some of the big constraints today are that there's a lot of fatigue around these niche solutions, and you're starting to see some consolidation in those. you know, a lot of people raised money in 2019, 2020, when it was pretty easy to raise money. It's not easy to raise money today. And I think you're going to see some of those companies start to fold into other companies or go away. And you're now starting to see the investment community starting to invest or bet heavily on a smaller number of players in the space. So we've been very fortunate. We raised $20 million in the last year. So we feel like we're one of those that people have placed significant bets on. And yeah, I think going forward, it's going to be a tough road. But, you know, we're very focused on these early workflows, but a much broader solution than I think most everyone else is looking at.
So think about workflows and the building model space and what you guys are doing. What's the impact of generative AI and AI in general as I think we all become accustomed to increased creativity, I should say, productivity and creativity, even in generating images and creative designs?
Yeah. I mean, obviously in the architectural space, especially in conceptual design, it's beautiful for being able to create ideas that we can iterate from and we can grow from. So, you know, if I have a picture of an existing building and I want to know some potential architectural design styles that it could look like, that's AI is amazing for that. It's not yet at a place where it can be used to, say, create a building. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's in a place where there's a lot more logic and rules that have to be incorporated, where I've just not seen an AI do that yet. But there's a lot of great solutions for ideation. There's a lot of great opportunity for generative AI and things like drawings and dimensioning and texting and things like that, where the annotations are pretty well understood. So there's a good amount of opportunity there, but it's very much in its infancy. Every product you see on the market has some AI to it, if not something more than their URL domain, but everyone's trying to, I think, find what the best solution is. Yeah. But I think ultimately it's AI is going to remove a lot of the rote repetitive tasks that everyone is doing anyway. It's not going to replace architects or engineers or contractors anytime soon.
Yeah, maybe at best make them more efficient and more creative.
The whole co-pilot perspective, I think, is pretty spot on for a lot of us, and that it'll make things a lot more efficient, but it's still going to require a really talented human to do the rest.
Very good. So double-clicking on downtime, what does that mean to you in your current role or maybe even in your private life? Yeah. How are you eliminating downtime?
So when I worked at a mechanical contractor years ago, I was the ISO 9001 rep when we got certified. I learned a lot about lean. I learned a lot about waste reduction. And I think I was sort of born that way. I hate wasteful activities. My wife would laugh and tell you all sorts of stories of stupid stuff I do to try and eliminate waste around the house or on a road trip or whatever. And from my perspective, you know, whether it was in a prefabrication shop that we sold a software to, we were constantly being asked, how do we become more productive? Because let's face it, the labor in our entire industry isn't growing. It's definitely shrinking. And everyone is being asked to do more with less. So the easiest way to do that, the first step, is to remove wasteful activities. Let's get rid of the stuff we hate doing in the first place. And for me, downtime is all about that. Where are the opportunities that people could otherwise be doing very high value things, but are instead waiting for something else, whether that's materials or information or other people? How can we help eliminate that? And from a Snaptrude perspective, it's very easy. You know, we're in a spot where the rest of the world has started using things like Google Docs to, you know, collaborate and better work in a more seamless way. Things like Figma or Miro to do ideations or, you know, Canvas type ideas. AEC is not doing any of those yet. You know, we're very siloed still. So we're hoping to be on the forefront of what ultimately we believe will become table stakes, where, you know, Althoff has a great saying that our industry is the most collaborative industry in the world that doesn't collaborate. because we have to, right? We are completely dependent upon each other to go build the building and design the building and actually put it together. But none of us actually talk. And when we do, it's sometimes combative, and everyone has a contract between them and another person. And I think, you know, we're looking to break down some of those barriers and help people collaborate in a more, you know, seamless and friendly way. And, you know, I believe that that has a massive implication on the amount of waste or downtime on a project.
And I would say that the barrier of entry to these modern collaboration tools, now I haven't been in Snapdruid, but I've definitely spent a lot of hours in various Miro boards with 10, 20, 30, even up to 60 or 100 people, and just looking at the creativity and the collaboration in a virtual context that these tools facilitate is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's really hard to, if you haven't experienced it, it's really hard to understand how powerful that is. And let's face it, the AEC space hasn't really done it much from from the design to construction workflow. And we're excited to be a part of that movement.
That's great. Hey, I would encourage people to check out your website. We'll put some links into the show notes. And with that, Britton, we're coming to the end of our little talk here. I hope you folks out there have learned a few new things. I certainly have. So thanks a lot for listening in. Don't forget to subscribe and stay tuned for more episodes on the Downtime Talk. Thanks a lot for joining today.
Thank you for having me.